This is about a close friend of mine. But how can someone be close in past tense? Greg Beckley died in 2009, but before that I saved his life by convincing him to get drunk. I also left him down by Ennis. We had driven together to an Earth First rendezvous where we were supposed to have worked on a story together, him writing and me taking photos for a large national magazine where we had gotten a paid assignment. But he had recently become so strange and then got very drunk on top of that, that I left him there and drove back to Missoula alone. I did not understand what was going on with him. I liked how Greg wrote. I was living in a 10-foot by 10-foot shack behind my friend Raz's on Alder Street in Missoula. Greg would come by my shack late at night and we would take turns reading each other poetry from my notebooks or from his notebooks. I had a wood stove. If either of us didn't like what was being read, we would rip the pages out of the notebooks and throw them in the stove. And sometimes I would play my saxophone as he read, loud enough that several times the police came to tell us to be quiet. But I was about to move out with my girl. She was pregnant. I was about to start a very different life, one without room for craziness. Then I saved his life. When almost everyone else had stopped talking to Greg before he had started treatment for his schizophrenia, he was down at the corner in front of the courthouse in Missoula next to the World War I memorial. Greg said he was going to stay there until all the troops came home from Kuwait. This was the first Gulf War, 1990. It was also right before my son was born. I was freaking out about how in the world would I be able to support all of us. I was trying hard to stop doing what I have always done, giving away all my money, agreeing to have my writing thrown into fires, befriending people with sparks who seemed to be waiting for a friend. Greg was camped there by the statue of that soldier who was running through barbed wire and throwing a grenade, a statue with names of dead boys on its side. I went and tried to talk to Greg when he was first there, and he said something like, "Whenever Bush talks, I see black bombs come out of his mouth." He was not being metaphorical. He was psychotic. He was also dressed in his worn-out, thin cotton clothing and near worthless thin shoes. Greg had been at that statue for at least 2 weeks. Other people came down there to protest the war, but they would stay on the opposite side of the statue from Greg. It was mostly social for them, standing close to the street, holding signs, being yelled at by rednecks, and yelling back. For Greg, it was personal, crazy, and bad, lost, and alone. Then it suddenly got very cold, sub-zero with a bit of snow and wind. By then I had moved in with my girl and I had a big bed with piles of blankets, a kitchen with a coffee grinder and a cutting board where my girl and I would put our fresh baked loaves of bread. I looked outside and I saw the blizzard and the darkness and I said I had to go somewhere and I would be back soon. I drove down to Warden's Market. I bought a pint of half and half and a packet of hot cocoa. I mixed it in a big cup and heated it in the microwave. Then I drove over to the statue. It was 11 p.m. I thought Greg was dead. He was lying under a blanket and he and the blanket were covered with 2 inches of snow. His feet, in those worthless shoes, were sticking out of the blanket and were covered with snow. I grabbed one of his feet and shook it until he was awake. He wasn't dead. He sat up. He said, "Steve." I gave him the cup of hot cream. He drank it. "It's too cold out here," I said. I took out all the money I had. It was less than $50. I gave it to him And I said, and I lied, "Greg, all the troops are home, and they are here in Missoula, down the street in Charlie's Bar, and there's a big hot stove there," I said. "I'll give you a ride there." He got up, walked with me to my car. But I did not come in with him. Later, he said I saved his life. And I'm fairly sure I had. It had gotten down to about negative 15 that night, and no one else would have woken him. He also told me a story about walking 24 hours and 40 miles to the newspaper publisher down in Hamilton, and how when he arrived, they were closed up for the night, and how he then threw a rock through the window. He was angry at the paper for publishing pro-war editorials. He stood around on the sidewalk for several hours, yelling at the passing cars until finally he was arrested. Then he was taken to and locked up in Warm Springs, the mental health hospital, for a few months. When this had happened, the article I read about Greg in the newspaper, the Missoulian, only described him as if he was simply nuts. The stories he told me, though, were much more than that. He said, I lost my mind, but I'm better now. And then he took a notebook from his back pocket and looked at me and read. We lean on words because they do make us human. I wish I had made more room for him in my life, the life without craziness, because really, he was a good, rare one. I wish I had those pages we burnt. I wish he could just show up here somehow in this big house and knock on the door and say to me, "You want to hear some new words?" I would turn off all these screens and pull up some chairs and open the saxophone case. Craig Beckley was born in 1954, and he died about 15 years ago in 2009. The music for this episode of Montana Voice was composed and performed by me, Steve Saroff. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope the rest of your day is a really great one.